Oh, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is 10 o'clock here on the Central Coast of California on Saturday, June 22nd, 2013. We're broadcasting live from Santa Cruz on the Central Coast of California. This is KUSP Public Radio 88.9 and KUSP.org. It's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. Please keep in mind that the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. I'm your host, Bonnie Jean Primsch, a mediator and broadcaster at large, filling in for Lyle Troxell. And with me in the studio today is Maeve Hamrick. Maeve, say hello again.
Hello.
Hello. You're a software developer and tech gadfly. Now, what do you mean by tech gadfly?
I like to talk about tech and challenge people's, challenge the status quo.
And Jeremiah Daniels, an operator of 10 years, an internet community supporter and volunteer. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you are both members of UBU, the Union of Benevolent Electrical Workers.
Yes.
You supply a fine source of alternate reality geeks to the Geek Speak show, among other things.
It's part of our mission statement.
Yeah, is it? What is the UBU mission statement?
I don't know that we really have one. So we can put anything be part of our mission statement as needed.
We have an about topic, which is the Union of Benevolent Electrical Workers provides mutual support to anti-authoritarian groups making radical social change through direct involvement, connecting communities, and education. And it goes on from there.
Mm-hmm. And so what does that wind up looking like in the practical?
NSA tapped my phone line.
Did they?
No, it's just an alert. It's like, hey, NSA, we're over here.
Yeah, okay. Hello. Right. So, but how does the Union of Benevolent Electrical Workers mainly do their thing?
We participate in free school classes, put on operating system fundamentals and what email means and things like that.
Yeah. So tools so that people will not be necessarily at the mercy of...
The man. Right.
The man. And we talked a bit about this back in February, the last time you were on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And today we're mostly going to be looking at sort of stories that are interesting you in the day's news and, of course, taking your calls. So a little later, do stay tuned. The phone number, of course, is 800-655-5877. But first... let's talk a bit about what's going on out there. And Maeve, you showed me a picture of something which perplexed me, I have to say. And it looked for all the world like a computer made of fruit.
Yes. So basically, I was at work and went into the break room to discover people had laid out some fruit in a line, had some wires hooked up to them. And I thought it was just a random bit of geekery. And I looked a little closer, and what it was is it was a genome editing station with fruit as the input device.
But how does that even work, though?
No, well, I mean, I guess there's some, capacitive difference when you touch the fruit, and there was a microcontroller that picked it up, and it turned it into USB signals that went into the web browser. And it was a web-based genome editing system.
Okay.
And the thing that I find very fascinating is that we're now at the point where it's like, you don't even need software on your computer. You just go to a web page, edit a genome. I went over there and I looked around. They had a lot of well-known genes pre-stocked so you could download them and start editing them as you see fit.
Now, your own mad scientist.
Yeah. Now, I imagine you probably have to know a little bit about, about DNA and genetics in general.
Yeah.
But the technology is the bottleneck anymore.
Right. So then you don't even need to have a responsible keyboard. It can just be made of pieces of fruit.
It can be made of fruit. Yeah.
Because all of the salient information is already there in the cloud.
Yes. And also I should say that the guys who were doing that were part of, I think it's synbiota.ca. So... we can put a link to that, I guess.
We will. And you've provided a picture, which I want to get up on our website after the show. They'll be able to see what on earth we're talking about.
Very bizarre.
How can fruit be a keyboard? It got, still hard to parse even when you're looking at it. Well, that's a lot more fun to talk about than What did you say? The NSA tapped your phone?
I just assumed the NSA taps our phones.
It is a little nerve-wracking what's going on and what is going on. And there's a lot of confusion, not only about the personalities involved in bringing the story out, but just what the story is. And what within the past week or so, Jeremiah, or two really, the company's been saying, hey, can we just please be a little clearer with our clients? Please, can we just be public a little bit about what it is that we're actually doing?
Yeah, and it really comes down to who you choose to trust. And they choose their words very carefully. All the companies involved, definitely the government, everyone's very, very careful. They have a whole teams of lawyers making sure that they're saying the right words so that the information that they are gathering is perfectly falls well within this nice little box of totally legal without a warrant, we swear.
Yeah, there does seem to be some very carefully worded statements coming out.
Oh, yes.
But also some statistics, right? Like Apple came out with some idea of something.
Yeah, I didn't look too closely at it, but I thought it was really nice that they were able to publish something. I like to believe that these companies are, you know, more interested in making money than necessarily willy-nilly, you know, handing your data over to the government.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, there are situations where someone's life is at risk. They have a legitimate warrant. I don't necessarily have a big problem with that. The biggest problem I have is obviously the warrantless stuff.
Yeah.
And but I like to believe that the companies don't, you know, focus on that. And it was
like they don't exist to like, ooh, I know what we can do. Hey,
yeah,
everyone,
exactly.
Have some information. We just got this great stuff.
Now selling it to the government. Now
yeah.
I think they'd be
a lot more interested.
Yeah. Now I don't for a moment think that they would, you know, be completely opposed to that.
Of course not.
Of course not. Now, you might have an interesting take on that, particularly being members of the Union of Benevolent Electrical Workers. If you're talking about not being at the mercy of the man, how does this story play into sort of what you're doing?
Well, I feel like in Santa Cruz, our political views aren't particularly radical. But
yeah.
In the rest of the world, at least the rest of the United States, they are, you know, self-education and self-empowerment and personal responsibility are kind of, you know, revolutionary ideas all of a sudden, which is kind of funny for most of us. But I think that the fact that, you know, governments and corporations, you know, the fact that it came out is that's not news. That's old news. I mean, this happened in the 90s with Echelon. Like, this has been happening since we've had governments. They've been spying on the citizens. And,
yeah. Someone made a joke last week, I think it was on Wait, Don't Tell Me, that like in China, it's not a big story at all because like, oh, you guys, the government's watching.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You know, it's like old news. But so you're not surprised?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
I do think that corporations use, you know, they have tons and tons. The corporations probably have way more information about us than the government ever will. And the corporations use that every day to make money off of us. I mean, look at Google's advertising. And Google's really transparent about, supposedly transparent. They release reports. I'm not disparaging Google.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that you have to take it with a grain of salt. And they do release transparency reports very regularly. I think quarterly, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Based on like, you know, okay, this is what the government's asking for, and this mm-hmm. is the information that we gave them, and
mm-hmm.
they, you know, that's a nice gesture, at least, right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
I definitely don't think the corporations involved or any corporation would have any, you know, why would they even think twice about selling the information or manipulating that information in such a way to make money off of it?
Yeah, because I think that in general, when you go to a website or a web property owned by Google or Facebook or Apple, their opinion is that, you know, we own this information. We own the metadata. We own the data. Mm-hmm. Even though you think it's yours, you know, technically we own it so that we can do whatever we want with it. Now, that being said, if Facebook started... Well, actually, Facebook will... Well, I shouldn't say bad things about Facebook.
Is sort of like a Facebook horror of the week, generally.
Yeah, I mean, I know a bunch of people who work over at Facebook, and they're actually fine people.
Yeah.
But
the individuals are great.
Yeah.
So what can an ordinary citizen do?
Encrypted email.
Encrypted email, PGP.
Real easy to do.
Yeah.
So you want to say more about that?
Pretty good privacy. It's got a good story.
Yeah,
or pretty good groceries.
Yeah. Pretty good. Or SMIME is the other big encrypted email technology that is, I mean, these are old programs.
Yeah.
I mean, from the 90s, you know, Mozilla Thunderbird introduced S/MIME support in way back when, mm-hmm. and, Exchange had S/MIME support, mm-hmm. or Outlook had S/MIME support in the 90s.
And so what, like, if say I've got my email account, I happen to have a Gmail account, how can I apply these things
well,
to
Well, Gmail
that?
Is a little bit different, right? Because Google wants to be able to peek in your email so that they can... they can harvest information and sell you ads.
Well, all the more reason to have some kind of like a thingo over it, right? Like, can you get some sort of like technological thingo, some kind of a cloakerator?
Well, I think I know that for Macs, it's pretty straightforward. You can, there's a PGP related tool that you can basically do a command sequence and, or, you know, a key sequence, and it will encrypt whatever you just copied, and then you paste it into the Gmail window. It's not automatic.
Yeah. And it's like there's like gobbledygook and then message and then gobbledygook.
Yeah.
And PGP encrypted or PGP signature at the bottom.
That's what that is.
It's kind of hard to say. I mean, everyone has their own preference on how they use their email and all the tools involved on a user side. So just adding another layer on top of that's pretty straightforward if people just go ahead and use their favorite search engine to...
oh, speaking of which, DuckDuckGo. Remember their... so if you're worried about...
How was it?
Okay.
Is this DuckDuckGo speak of, Maeve?
So if you're worried about Google or whomever storing your... or Bing storing your search queries, there's a company called DuckDuckGo. You know, DuckDuckGo, I guess, .com. Mm-hmm. And, Google DuckDuckGo. And it's a search engine that promises not to store your search history. So, which, you know,
it promises not to.
Well, you know, it's like, at least they promise not to. I mean, Google and Bing are like, yeah, of course we're tracking you.
So they promise not to track your history.
Right.
Okay.
And a lot of geeks I know are now switching over to have DuckDuckGo be their default search provider. Because they're, well, I don't know. I don't want to say paranoid because I'm one of the paranoids too.
It's not paranoid. Okay.
Yeah.
So so that's spooky. That all is very spooky. But there are some ways that simple things that people can do not to make them totally immune, but at least feel better about the whole thing. It sounds like.
You know, it's funny actually. Last time we were on, one of our callers called in specifically like noting like, hey, look at this crazy stuff that's going on in the Midwest, and we were like, yeah, that's true, and you know, not surprised. And that was big. Now it's a big deal in the
news.
Now
it's big news.
Like, that's been around. It's not new. It's really old, actually.
But we're newly offended.
Yes.
By the scope. It sounds like it's a scope problem. We're offended by the scope.
Well, and I think a lot of people just ignored it. You know, it's like, oh, it's something we have to do in order to defeat the terrorists.
Well, and half the country's all for it. More than half of the country is all for it.
I haven't seen the
there
stats.
There was like a poll, it was like 59 or 56%. It was like, yeah, it makes sense.
Awesome.
Well, I have a suspicion that that depends on how you ask the question. Like if you said, you know, do you support giving up your Fifth Amendment rights? I'm pretty sure that probably 90% of the people would say no. Yeah. And then say, oh, well, what if it helps with terrorists? You know, if you sequenced it like that, I'd be willing to bet that you probably would have a little bit.
That's right. I didn't actually see the poll.
Yeah, what was the question asked? Are you okay with, you know, the government circumventing certain legalities when finding information in order to protect the population as a whole? And, you know, that's a whole different question then. Are you okay with the government circumventing all of your civil rights?
Well, we're going to go to a break here in just a moment. When we come back, we will have some sort of an antidote. You know, if you're feeling like you're so easily malleable, we have an answer. You could take it out on something less fortunate than yourself. all right. So this is Geek Speak on KUSP, and we'll be back in just a moment. And tomorrow on KUSP, it's the next 7th Avenue Project. Soul Man Part 2 is the subject. A new interview with the dazzling singer-songwriter and rising jazz star Gregory Porter. In his second appearance on the 7th Avenue Project, Porter talks about his forthcoming album, his gospel-tinged approach to jazz vocals, and his belief that love really does conquer all. Aw, jazz man Gregory Porter on the 7th Avenue Project. Sunday, that's tomorrow at noon here on KUSP, or KUSP. www.nsa.org. All right. Well, all that getting pushed around by the NSA stuff is very scary, but we can push things around too. Isn't that right?
Yeah. It's like I noticed this last week that there were a couple of stories, one being someone had produced a quote-unquote backpack for a dragonfly to be able to control the direction the dragonfly moves in. And earlier in the month, I think that someone had developed a iPhone app
for the roach
to control
the,
a roach.
Cockroach?
Yeah, remotely control a cockroach.
So you could just have, like, was it like a tiny little joystick?
Yeah, exactly.
Or do you push the buttons on your phone? And then
and you're going to have PETA calling in, like yelling at us for talking.
Hey,
about
I do not recommend this.
There are no cockroaches or dragonflies in the studio, and none of them have backpacks on, right. And none of them are being controlled by us. I'm just saying.
So one more thing to worry about is NSA controlled. Dragonflies, I guess, and cockroaches.
Can you imagine if they put the backpacks on the cicadas back east?
Oh my God, that's well, that problem. Explains it, I think.
Oh, you think that's what's going on?
Perfect timing.
Yeah,
but
obviously.
That's not a surprise either. That's been going on for years.
and also talking about things you can do to avoid prying and spying eyes. We mentioned that you can do PGP mail, but one of the things we kind of forgot to mention is that for some people it can be kind of confusing. So one of the things that Ubu does is we, in conjunction with Free School, we offer courses throughout the year. Every now and again, we'll step you through the process of doing an encrypted email. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about cryptography, code, ciphers. We've done a couple already.
It's a popular class, yeah?
Oh, it's very popular.
Yeah.
It's one of our most popular, actually.
Well, yeah.
For some reason. I wonder why.
That and the 3D printing, right? Those are the two.
Yeah, those are the two.
Yeah.
Rockstar factor on both sides.
Yes.
So, yeah, and I'm sure, Free School has an URL
calendar
somewhere.
Freeschool.org,
yeah,
maybe?
I can't remember what it is.
I'm going to go there now. Let's see if we can figure it out.
Okay.
We'll have all that stuff on our, GeekSpeak site.
On the GeekSpeak site. Yeah. Oh, by the way, this is GeekSpeak. It really is. I know it sounds a little different today, and that's because we're in an alternate reality geek land here. I'm your host, filling in for Lyle Troxell, Bonnie Jean Primsch, and with me is Maeve Hamrick and Jeremiah Daniels, both of the Union of Benevolent Electrical Workers, and doing due diligence as alternate reality geeks today, while Lyle is in France. I'm hoping he's having a good time.
Awesome.
I know. Boo-hoo.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about his hard life. That's too bad. all right. So while I look up the Free School address, you want to talk about retro computing?
Oh, yeah,
what's
right.
all that?
Yeah. So something that I've been doing for a long time is retro computing, or reusing old computers. I don't know. Maybe there's a bunch of listeners who grew up in the 70s and 80s and are familiar with some of the old 8-bit computers. I actually have an 8-bit computer in front of me.
I was wondering what that thing was.
Yeah,
you brought in a contraption.
Weird. Yeah, it's a Tandy 102 or model, or I think they called it a Tandy TRS-80 model 100, or this one's a model 102, slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been using it for the last 10, 15 years. It was the first computer that I saw that I really, really, really wanted. And a lot of people consider it to be the original laptop computer, because it is. It's portable, lasts for about 3 weeks on a charge.
What?
Yeah.
Well, it's basically a tablet, too, because, it's not like a normal notebook computer, folks. This is a tablet-sized computer with a little screen and keyboard built in.
Yeah, it's like a keyboard with a little screen on top. If you Google, DuckDuckGo, Tandy 102, you'll probably see a picture of it. And the thing that I love about it is you turn it on and 4 seconds later you're typing. And
oh, that's different from the...
Exactly. And it's like, and what's my password?
Thing.
And my mind...
Later.
The way that my mind works, when I want to type something really fast, I can't be distracted by, what's my password? And crunk, it's like I've got I'm typing into a web-based application, so I have to, what's the Wi-Fi password here?
Yeah.
So
And not a paper and pen, because then it's not just transferable.
I always I always lose pens. I never have a pen when I need it.
Mm.
That's the curse of being me.
The trick, I think, really is to just literally open a big box of them and throw them around every room that you happen to be in, so that no matter what, you can just kind of go,
That's creative.
What I'm doing is I'm making a little pawing motion out. Yeah. Like, just kind of reach out.
So your house must just be like full of
they're
stuff
hanging
and
from
things.
The ceiling. Yeah. Awesome, awesome. You trip over them on the floor.
Hey,
that's
I can
not
install
true.
The acoustic tiles in my roof so I can throw pins up in.
So, Maeve, how do you get data off of that thing? Because I see a couple of serial ports and a couple
yeah,
of...
It's an RS-232 port, and because I am a geek, I wrote my own Node.js application to suck data out of the serial port.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll put it up on GitHub or something.
Can you airdrop it? Can you airdrop the files from that thing?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Although that would
I'm
be
not
cool.
trying to make fun
that
of you.
That would be cool. Just... No, that's originally
it just comes out effortlessly.
Originally what I was going to do is I was going to have a Zigbee connector right there. Oh. But then it's like I got lazy and it's like, I'll just use a stereo port.
So is this available for anyone? Because earlier you were
eBay.
Saying that you had tinkered with your machine to make the sort of download ration automatic.
Well, but I think anybody can use it. There are certainly, you know, solutions.
Yeah.
It's not the same solution that I use, but you can go to eBay. You can buy these things for $35, $50, something like that.
If James were around, we could 3D print that case, get a couple of microcontrollers, a couple of keyboards. We could make these.
Oh, no. And that's the other thing that people are doing now is they're taking these cases. They're taking the old CPU out and putting a Raspberry Pi in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because Raspberry Pi is like the anyone can do it computer.
Yeah.
Right.
They're $35.
Yeah.
And they're pretty darn powerful, especially for $35. What was that flashing light?
I actually have a VAX emulator.
Might be a call coming in.
Yeah, I have a VAX emulator running on my Raspberry Pi right now.
Are we ready for calls already?
Oh, almost, you know. We're going to take calls in a few minutes. By the way, the phone number is 1-800-655-5877, if that's what you're interested in. Meanwhile, I hear there's been a sighting of some old-school Apple folk.
Yeah, this was really cool. I kind of wish that I had heard about it so I could go and see it in person. But apparently, there was some sort of history event in San Jose this last week, and they invited Steve Wozniak over to come and look at a Apple One, and he said, well, you know, I'll do one better. I'm going to bring mine, and we're going to boot it up. And by the time, you know, word got around, four or five of the original Apple guys wound up in this thing, each bringing their own Apple Ones, and some of the early Apple One customers, and you know, the guy who ran the computer store in Berkeley who sold one of the first Apple Ones showed up. And they were able
That's
to
kind
get,
of adorable.
Yeah, and they were able to get four out of five of them to boot.
Yeah.
And
this is like a whole opportunity, and they hadn't pre-tested. But that's nice. They like four out of five are still working.
Yeah, exactly. And also,
I wonder if that's going to be true later.
Oh, heck,
we go back in time to today and computers made today.
Oh no,
no.
They're manufactured now to stop working after a certain period of time.
Yeah, they figured out that whole planned obsolescence.
Warranty plus, and you know, 5 days or something like that.
Yeah. Hey, we did get a call from Breda and Gilroy.
Oh, awesome.
Let me see if you guys can tackle this one. She's wondering how to get internal modem and computer to accept internet service. It's frozen on the network page. Any notion about that stuff?
Oh, man. I have no idea.
Can we recommend a local resource for her?
And where is it? In Gilroy?
In Gilroy. Oh. Let me see if I can get him on the phone here.
Oh, man.
Is that you? No,
oh,
not
no,
there.
Not there.
Okay. We don't know. So we don't know. Can't diagnose that one over the phone and... Don't know if we can recommend a local solution.
I think the only thing I can think of is just to go to your favorite search engine and search for, computer help.
Mm-hmm.
Gilroy.
Gilroy. It's like, unfortunately, I don't know anything about over those hills.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So good luck in Gilroy.
Thanks for flashing your nerd cred there. That's one of the cool things about kind of living in this area, and especially when you get a chance to work in Silicon Valley, is you get to see a lot of great people. I saw Rich Stallman once.
Yeah, awesome.
And we used to work for Paul Vixie. So.
Oh yeah, that's right. And my ex has some pretty good Stallman stories that are not appropriate for a family show.
I don't know of any Richard Stallman stories that are appropriate for a family show.
Well, let's try this again. Anne in Capitola is a little concerned, given the topic of conversation today, about Kindle Fire. Oops.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Hang up on this person and see if I can get this going. Anne, are you there, Anne? Boy, I'm not doing well with the phones today. Anne, are you there? Gee, it looks like she's there, but she's not responding.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think I probably know what she was going to say. It was probably going to say, I've got a Kindle Fire, and it does this... it's kind of interesting because the Kindle Fire, if you go to a particular page, it will look at all the links on that page, and in the background, it will prefetch a bunch of them, you know, which is kind of cool in the sense that if you eventually hit one of those links, it won't take so long to, you know, to render that page because it's already pre-cached.
Okay.
But many people have pointed out this could be a privacy problem. And my understanding is that after the first revision of the Kindle Fire software, they introduced an option to turn off that feature. Unfortunately, I don't have a Kindle Fire myself, so I don't know from
personal
experience.
I didn't even know Kindle Fires had cameras in it. That's cool. Well, according to the caller, there was a camera on there.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, if there's cameras, there's a sunglasses icon that occasionally appears. And, well, is the camera on? How do I, huh?
It's probably a bug in the software, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Oh, and then also the, well, yeah, it's like I have, whenever work gives me a computer with a camera on it, I put a little post-it note over the camera.
Yeah.
Just because there's no reason it really needs to, nobody actually really needs to see me. I mean, it's. That's why I'm in radio, not TV.
That's the beauty of IT. If I can't do my job from anywhere, then I failed at doing my job.
Okay. So what we might be doing is taking calls off the air. Do come, you know, do call and let us know what you'd like to talk about. But there's something funkified about our phone interface, which I think has to do a lot with me.
So, Anne, if you're still listening, I'll do a quick Google search and see if there's something to be worried about with your Kindle Fire. But I would guess that it's a bug with the software. I've seen that before with actually
with this that occasionally just kind of appears. Just,
sometimes cameras like just randomly turn on devices. It's not actually. It's just like piping to dev.
No, but
and
I mean,
it's not actually.
But I mean, you know, it's probably a legitimate concern because there have been all these stories about. Like the school district in Vermont or wherever it was.
Oh, yeah, looking at the students and what the students are doing.
Yeah. And I'm
like, here, everyone have a computer.
Yeah.
And like watching what they're doing at home
on
a computer.
So, I mean, you're probably right to be concerned, but maybe not paranoid. I don't know.
And your solution is just a little duct tape over there.
Trust
but verify.
Trust but put tape over your camera.
Yeah. Is that a motto? Trust but verify?
Yeah,
that's I learned that in the Army, actually. Ex-Army, so.
Isn't that what we used to say about the Soviets or something? About nuclear weapons?
I think that's what we used to say about the soldiers. We would say, like, okay, well, when you tell a soldier to do something, you know, trust that they did it, but then verify, because all the soldiers are probably lying to the sergeants.
It's a management tool.
It's like parents and kids, right?
Yeah. Like, trust but verify. That's useful in all kinds of situations. All right, very good. Well, we also got a call from Ed in Paso Robles. Who tried to upgrade her Opera browser.
Oh, really?
And the email portion failed to initialize.
Oh, man, I don't know. I've generally had good luck with Opera. So,
what is Opera for people who don't know about it?
For people that don't know, Opera is just another browser. Mm-hmm. So in the early days, there was Netscape, there was Internet Explorer, and Opera was another group. I believe they were out of Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And the Opera was always very good about following specs to the letter and introducing new specs. If a new spec was published, they would implement it. Mm-hmm. So I always had a lot of respect for them because of that. They didn't ever do anything really, really hyper funky like, oh, I'm going to have this super secret internal interface, blah, ha, ha, that only I know about. So I always – and they were also one of the first browser organizations to focus on mobile.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so, I mean, now currently, of course, I use Firefox.
Firefox, which is run by Mozilla?
Mozilla is the organization.
Is the organization.
They're a nonprofit, right?
Well,
they're a community benefit corporation.
Yes,
you should know all about this, right?
Yes. I am an employee of the Mozilla Corporation, which is 100% owned by the Mozilla Foundation. I think I said that correctly.
Okay.
And it had to do with the way that they were receiving money in order to get their operating budget. It just made sense to do it that way.
Yeah.
I am not a lawyer, so I don't know exactly why.
Stuff. But the whole point there is that sort of like everyone working together to create something sort of in an open source way.
Making the internet better. That's actually
making
kind of our mandate.
Better. And you're just headed for the phones, the mobile phones, right? You're coming
That's right. I mean, that was actually the thing that got me, you know, motivated to seek employment at Mozilla was they decided they were going to go whole hog, not only on bringing the Mozilla browser to Android and iOS, but also to create a new operating system to go alongside iOS and Android.
Yeah.
Without more information from Ed about what email portion fails to initialize with Opera upgrade, I really don't know where to go forward.
Where might the problem be? Could it be computer-based? Would it be...
Well, I don't even know what the email portion means. So,
well, okay. Right, it's like right. You know, kind of like Firefox. The way it used to be is it used to be that you installed, or well, I guess it was back in the Netscape days. You would install Netscape, and then it would also install the email and the
Opera has an email client.
Opera actually is kind of cool.
Oh,
I mean,
I actually use Opera for my web browsing because I don't.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I use Safari and Opera.
Okay.
I don't like Mozilla. I find their tools very.
Let's just see if we can get Ed. Are you there by any chance?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great!
Yay! It's working. All right. So there's a little confusion on our end about the email portion failing to initialize. Can you elucidate?
Well, I can access the web. I can browse the web, but I cannot send emails or receive emails. And I'm trying to eliminate a lot of work, like saving my tabs and saving my bookmarks and just deleting everything and reinstall. But the deal comes up. When I open Opera, that it says failed to initialize email.
That is odd.
I'm wondering if maybe when you upgraded, it lost some of your email server credentials. Some of the like maybe the password got flushed or the username, and it's like trying to connect, but it doesn't have the right. Maybe that's what's not initializing.
Yeah, so you'd have to go into like the account preferences and just verify that. All of the server settings, like what your mail server is, what your account name is there, and password.
It could be AT&T DSL. Could the problem be there with that?
Not likely. If you can surf the web, then you're probably connecting just fine. It's most likely a configuration issue on the client.
Oh, wait, hold on. Are you connecting to an AT&T mail server? Okay.
AT&T provides the internet access for me.
Okay. Yeah, because the reason I mentioned that is that at least in the old days, AT&T used to block access to mail servers other than their own as an attempt to limit the spread of spam. And, of course, I found that kind of annoying because I couldn't get to my personal mail server. But if your service is with AT&T, then it should not be a problem. AT&T...
They would like you... Nowadays, they would like you to use Yahoo.
Right. That's right, because they have that deal. So, you may have a... I don't know. You may want to call them and ask them if they have any...
My best guess is that your preferences got... lost in the upgrade, and that if you remember username, password, and maybe go to the site where your email information is saved. So if it's Yahoo, then it would, how to set up an IMAP email client or something like that.
Yeah, and also is this an old Windows version computer? Or?
Yes, XP.
Well, XP shouldn't be too old, but I mean because sometimes what happens is. Microsoft will develop, publish development tools that, might not necessarily work so well with Windows 3.1, circa 1993. But XP is not that old.
No.
I wouldn't think that the tools that the Opera people used to build their stuff with would be completely inoperable.
What about his email provider? Might that have an effect on?
Yeah,
on
but
how
that's AT&T as well.
Well, if it worked before the upgrade,
it should.
It should continue to work after the upgrade, right?
Okay.
The only change here is the implementation of the client on his end.
Yeah.
So it's all the same protocols to connect to the mail client.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm thinking it's got to be some sort of configuration issue. And if you go to just your preferences, and if you remember that stuff or have it written down. That's great, but you'll probably have to do some searching around to whoever provides your email if it's Yahoo or AT&T, or you might have to call their support, which for AT&T is a horrible headache.
All right, we'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay, good luck.
We also got a call from someone off-air in Carmel Valley who says she's a 64-year-old computer virgin.
Uh-oh.
And she wants to get in the game. So what do you recommend? Should she go Mac or PC? How should she get started? Some learning resources for someone just getting into the game?
I would say a tablet, actually. These days, they're like a great way to get connected and not worry about a lot of the hassle. I'm really impressed with, you know, the new Android stuff and the new Windows 8 tablet. Actually, I never thought I would espouse any Microsoft product ever, but you know what? Windows 8 is actually fun to use mobile device.
I like Windows 8 as well. I almost bought one of those Windows phones, but then I found out it wouldn't do Wi-Fi calling. So
yeah, well, I'm sure someone out there is, if they haven't already, published a great Linux, you know, rootkit for Windows 8 tablet, and then, you know, a nice similar interface.
Well, I don't think she's going to be worried too much about that just yet.
No, exactly. So I would say...
I'm sorry. He is a 64-year-old computer virgin. Okay. Pardon me, sir.
So, no, but I mean, the same thing goes, right? It's like, I think a tablet is a wonderful... I agree. I completely agree. Because you've got small tablets, you've got larger tablets, you've got tablets to fit your every lifestyle.
An Android, a Windows, or an Apple tablet, they also, like, they're kind of good starter kits because they integrate well with that ecosystem. So if you want to continue on to using Microsoft Windows with, like, a real full-fledged desktop computer or laptop, I actually haven't had a desktop computer in 10 years, but if you want to upgrade to, you know, a full-fledged laptop, then the transition from Android, Windows to... or Android's Windows or iOS to the other operating systems that same company provides, it's usually a pretty seamless transition in my experience. But.
So it sounds like you're not seeing a particular preference one way or the other for someone just getting into the game about whether he goes for an Android or Windows or a Mac.
I would agree with Jeremiah here. It's like all three have very compelling user experiences. Apple might be a little more developed. They have a slightly more developed ecosystem, but you know that doesn't necessarily.
And just wait. In the context of this, what do you mean by an ecosystem?
Well, it's like, you know, if you want to get a car charger for your iPad, you have 85. People who will sell you a car charger for your iPad. On Android, you probably only have about 35.
Okay. And so Windows just in terms of numbers of people servicing the device.
Right. And also, what you know, they all have their own little services. Like Android has Google Play. I don't know what Microsoft's fascinating story. Anyway, it's like
I'm sure
they have ways to integrate all of your documentation, all your documents and your files into, you know, their particular storage service. And then when you do have a device that, you know, like for instance, I have a MacBook and I have several iOS devices. They all share the same data because of services that Apple provides. But that's not unique to Apple. That's just the name of the game these days.
Yeah, and so I do the same thing with Google.
If I can infer, it sounds like things he should be looking for are a really intuitive, easy-to-use user interface, a wide variety of people servicing the tablet with apps and so on so that he can do anything he wants. What else?
You know, that one is actually where it comes in. If you're comfortable just stepping into the pool, you know, but there's several different, you know, pools out there that are all different temperatures, and some of them are a little bit bubbly, and some of them have some minerals.
Go try some stuff on, it sounds
Exactly.
Go somewhere where you can really try these things on.
And a family member who will help you with it.
A family member can help you out.
So,
that would be useful.
You'll find that family member who knows how to set up a Wi-Fi network in your house.
Do you say family member because they're less likely to like beat you for asking stupid questions? Or?
well, not in our
depending
family.
Depending on what,
not my family.
Beating, maybe not, but put up with,
But no, you can guilt them into doing things for free sometimes.
Anyway, I would say a tablet. I would go to, you know, whatever the local electronics store, Fry's or Best Buy or I don't know what else is out there anymore. And, you know, actually just touch and play with them and, you know, use... Go ahead and use those tablets, and I think they're really a great stepping stone into technology.
And let's see, given that this person's in Carmel Valley, maybe just go to a store that has the thing and don't necessarily go far and wide because any of the tablets is going to be somewhat great.
I think that any of the tablets should be fine. And down in Carmel Valley, I mean, I'm sure there's a Best Buy in Monterey or somewhere down there.
Oh, maybe like Seaside more.
Yeah. So, I mean, it shouldn't be too hard to find a store that you can look at these things.
I don't know much about Southern California.
We're not in here now, even in Southern California. Proof that you don't, sir.
South of Salinas is Southern California.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, it's the alternate reality geek version of Geek Speak here on KUSP. We're going to go to a quick break and be right back. We are taking your calls at 800-655-5877. Stay tuned. It's Geek Speak here on KUSP and KUSP.org. We're going to attempt this call from Sheila in Santa Cruz, who's got a little bit of a, I don't know if humble brag's the right word here, but...
Okay. More fun.
Are you there? Are you there? Hello, Sheila.
I'm here.
Oh, hi.
Oh, my gosh. It went to a busy signal.
I'm sorry.
Or whatever. Sorry. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going pretty darn good.
Your son's going to be traveling, it sounds like.
Yeah. Munich.
Going to Munich? Going to the X Games?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was trying to keep the bragging part on the down low.
Okay. But in any case, you want to stay in touch, right?
Well, I think that would be ideal. He's only 19. Mm-hmm. And we got him the... And thank you so much for taking the call and being so helpful always.
Well, we'll see how helpful we can be, but yeah.
Well, I know you guys are always helpful. The thing is, this is a question for people that are somewhat... conversant and international, and I'm, you know, we just haven't done much of that in a long time, but I got an iPhone 4S for him because his iPhone 4 won't work in Germany, different operating system.
Mm-hmm.
The main three, and I've quizzed Verizon at great length about this.
Oh,
so what I'm hoping for is, you know, he's going to be there watching stuff for most of it, watching games and then participating at the X Games, but we are just so concerned to not end up with a mega bill when he comes back. Apparently, he can just do iPhone messaging to another iPhone via a data plan. We can do that. And I think basically we try to keep him off that phone would be the way to live.
Well, you can turn off data roaming. That's really easy. You can turn off all cellular data. That's really simple.
Well, and also it's...
Turn off data roaming. See, the thing is, that won't turn off his ability to translate, right?
That will not turn off the ability to translate as long as you have some sort of internet connection, which is, it's in Europe, so they have internet everywhere, right?
Yeah, they're a lot better
about
that than we are.
I'm sure of this. And the thing is, it's just, you know, it's short, it's sweet, it's quick, but you know how you can get into such problems by not asking questions ahead of time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, one thing you might want to consider doing is just, you know, getting a phone for over there.
That's what occurred to me, is perhaps it would be easier to get a phone when he's already in place over there and then be subject to local blah, blah, blah.
Well, that sounds time-consuming and worth
it. You know what? This is the thing. I feel research. That because we're not able to send an ambassador along with him.
Yeah.
you know,
oh, boy.
He's just going to be focused on this whole
his
participation. I don't want his life to be more complicated than it needs to be. I think the security of having... A phone that he can text to us, mm-hmm. at least two of us have iPhones at home, text me, text his sister. He can use the facilities in Munich, which that would be my encouragement, would be to go to Wi-Fi Cafe and Skype.
Yeah, that should work. Right. But I mean, all of the 3G mobile data, I don't think is going to work. And the voice is probably not going to work. But
yeah, we would turn off the data roaming, yeah, like you say. And then I think we're only 2G anyway on this phone that we have. I don't know. They didn't say 4G or 3G. Mm-hmm. Maybe you know more than I do about whether you automatically have 3G.
I think the 4S is at least a 3G phone.
Yeah, okay. 3G, now, what I'm thinking is, to me, it's just an emergency device. It's a security device, you know, a security blanket to be able to just mm-hmm. text us or call us, and it's expensive to call. But, you know, we can handle a couple phone calls during that time. However, for him to send his pictures and all that, that's what he's so used to doing, is videos and videos and videos of bike jumping and pictures. We just can't do it through this phone.
So, again, I would go ahead and turn off data roaming, turn off cellular data. Those are both found under the settings, general network.
Okay, turn off data roaming. Is that the same as cellular data?
Nope, it's different.
Okay, turn off cellular data and turn off data roaming, and then...
And then only use Wi-Fi. So, basically, you turn the phone into, you know, a basic old-fashioned phone and a mobile computer device.
No, but I don't think CD...
And so if you're using Wi-Fi, that means you're going to an internet cafe and using their computer?
Mm-hmm. Or your
their net, or their Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you're just connecting to their network.
If you connect to their network, are you suddenly not an international traveler racking up thousands of dollars when you send pictures?
If it's a Wi-Fi network, yes.
Okay, good. Okay,
or it
good.
Should be. I mean, unless Verizon... has a way to...
No, they don't have a way. Right. I've used iPhones with Verizon's overseas, actually. Well, not overseas. Canada. Same thing.
Kind
and,
of.
it's just the pitfalls we're trying to avoid, and I really appreciate, you know, if more thoughts come up, I can leave an email address for somebody. But he's leaving on Wednesday. He'll be back on a week from Monday, and I just would love for this, and we just don't have the money for a bunch of mistakes in this area.
Oh, right.
Well, and you're not reaching Lyle right now because he is in France. I imagine he might know something
might
about
know.
This. If you write us at geeks@geekspeak.org, we might have some good follow-up information for you over
I
email.
I will do so, and I sure appreciate you folks, and thank you, and I'll let somebody else get on, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Sheila.
Have a good day.
Good luck.
Bye. Thank you.
Oh, boy. The boy going overseas. with
I suggested
unaccompanied.
To all young adults, spend several years abroad.
Oh, I agree.
Somewhere in there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go get a taste. Well, we have another call from, is it Khalid in Salinas, who's having trouble accessing email. The provider is AT&T.
Ooh, a common theme.
Oh, it's off air now. Okay. Oh, apparently it got fixed by itself. All right.
Oh,
well, that got taken care of.
Oh.
Which means we've got time for your call at 800-655-5877. You're listening to the final moments of Geek Speak. I think we've got time for one more call if you want to call us right now. With me here in the studio is Maeve Hamrick and Jeremiah Daniels of the Union of Benevolent Electrical Workers. And I did find the link for Free School, by the way, where they offer classes throughout the calendar year on various subjects, including cryptography and things like that. And that is santacruz.freeschool.org. And I believe that's spelled FreeSkool .org. So you can find out more about the classes they offer there. And do you happen to have off the top of your head the URL for UBU itself?
Do we have an URL?
Yeah, it's just ubew.org.
Okay, go to there.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we do have it.
Yeah.
We do have a webpage.
An URL. We don't have any members named Earl, so if your name is Earl...
and you want to be Earl at UBU.
The Earl of Earl. Yeah. The Earl of UBU or Earl.
You blew my mind when you said Earl.
Yeah. So there just a little dangling thing there from Khalid and Salinas. The Yahoo email problem seems it was a system issue.
Okay.
For this person.
Okay.
So I'm good. Hopefully that worked out. Once again, the phone numbers are 800-655-5877. Just a couple minutes left. Any parting thoughts, things that you'd like people to be have in mind or to keep an eye out for?
Encrypt your email. Don't use pagers.
Don't use pagers.
Yeah,
you mentioned that, but you were saying off air that somebody's figured out how to sort of track that themselves. They don't need no NSA.
Yeah, you don't. You can be your own NSA with a software-defined radio and a Raspberry Pi. You can read like pager traffic. It is illegal to do so. But
is anyone using pagers anymore? That's
well, yeah.
Question.
Fortunately, it's not too many people are using them.
Okay, so that was figured out just in time.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of pagers, one of the really interesting things after 9/11. WikiLeaks, one of the first things they posted was all of the pager data mm-hmm. that came out of... It was basically, you know, lots and lots of, oh my goodness, something horrible happened. And thousands and thousands of alerts to system administrators telling them that their servers disappeared because there was a couple data centers in the World Trade Center when it collapsed. And, you know, it was kind of interesting to see, like, how quickly the IT community knew about what was going on.
Based on what they were...
Based on just actually...
In the moment, perceiving.
Yeah. Plain text SMS.
Yeah.
I knew about the 89 quake because the server I was connected to at the time fell through a couple floors of the DEC facility in San Francisco.
Yikers.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. Well, it has been Maeve Hamrick and Jeremiah Daniels. This is Geek Speak, a show that is heard every Saturday at 10 a.m. Geek Speak is a registered service mark of David Lawrence and is used by permission. We're very grateful to be able to do that. I also want to thank Rick Philman for managing the phones. It's been very useful to have him here today. All right, there we go. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to Geek Speak. We'll be back again next week with more news and geekery and goodness. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Bonnie Jean Primsch. I've been your host today, filling in for Lyle Troxell, and I'm very grateful that he let me do that.